Continuing with the best theme for April, the month of fools, is a dumb birthday game from April 4th, 1996. Norm was filling in for Bob Raleigh, and he was in the midst of 10 days in a row of overnights. This game is a hoot. Norm's Arthur Godfrey impressions are spot on and as hilarious as ever, thus giving us our title, Oh My Godfrey. Get it? Yeah. The players. The wonderful, wonderful Jack Hart. Tom Howie, producing and playing in studio. Jody in Hyde Park. Bridget from Ontario. And Grace in Rhode Island. The birthdays. Andre Previn. Merle Haggard. Billy D. Williams. Michelle Phillips. John Ratzenberger. Mary Lou Henner. And Bert Blylevin. Episode 230. Oh My Godfrey! Sings its way to your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
This has been a very fruitful week. You and I have had a chance to play the dumb birthday game a whole lot more often than usual, and I've just found it just so darn exciting and just so darn wonderful.
Oh, yes, indeed. I look forward to weeks like this. I mark them off on my calendar because I know that for one short week in a stretch of time, I'm going to enjoy myself.
What a wonderful, wonderful, compassionate, wonderful person. Wonderful seems to be the only word in my vocabulary today. But you're that kind of person, well, in any event. Okay. And some people said, boy, Norm, wouldn't it be nice if you were on every night? Not a lot of people said that. Some people said, hey, Norm, wouldn't it be wonderful if you were never on? We get a lot of that, too.
Wow.
But this is about the 705th consecutive night. I want to go home and go to bed.
Well, nonetheless, you've made a lot of people happy throughout these last 10 days or so.
I would think so.
And it has certainly brightened my week.
Aren't we just full of it?
Anyway. Certainly not.
Okay. No, anyway, I appreciate that. But anyway, we have a fair amount of people, a lot of interesting people were born this on dates during this past week. I'm just so pleased about that.
They were born on dates?
Yes, they were. They were. I wish I could think of a smart, funny comeback to that line, which makes absolutely no sense at all.
Hey, honey, you want to go? Want to go to a movie and have a baby?
What do you say? Because anyway, let me introduce some other people while I think of a snappy comeback. Tom Howie, of course, is our producer, and he will be playing the dumb birthday game with us.
Good morning, Norm, and good morning.
Isn't he a snappy ad libber, huh?
Yeah, snappy. Spontaneous. That's my middle name.
Yeah, that's how we hire producers here, and of course, traffic people. They must. It doesn't matter that they know what they're doing so far as producing or calling traffic or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The idea is to be snappy ad libbers.
Yes.
Did you have to take a test for that ad-libbing? Did you have to do that, Jack?
We had to take a snappy ad-libbing test, yes. They threw out a lot of punchlines at us. We had to know the joke. They just threw phrases at us. We had to come up with comebacks. We had to wear funny clothes.
You know, at one time when you took an audition to get a job in broadcasting, they actually had auditions like that.
Right.
Yeah, one was they would give you a pencil, for example. I say, ad-lib about this pencil. I say, well, it's a pencil. It's got some lead in it. It's an Eberhard Faber, number 3. Let me try it. It's got it's nice, thick, black lead there. It's nice. It writes hard. I mean, actually, I don't know what that had to do with anything. I've been at radio now for 2,000 years. I've never had to sit here and ad-lib about a pencil.
Well, of course, you know, Norm, you were one of the pioneers of radio, of course, back then, and they thought that possibly that people would be interested in hours and hours of pencil programming, like the Ticonderoga Hour.
That's right, and I think the idea, and it's chewed here at the end. See the words, the chew marks are in there? This person apparently had crooked teeth.
Sure, number 2 in your hit parade.
That's right, but they figured that I don't know where they figured that. I think ad-libbing, you know, certainly comes in handy because that's what we're doing right now.
I imagine a lot of
No, there are a lot of kids who are listening now who want to get into broadcasting or saying, Boy, that sounds hard, the way they're ad-libbing. That must be hard to do that, to do that ad-libbing. I wonder if they're going to ad-lib about a pencil. We do that.
The first one of the auditions, one of the first ones said, this is WHDH. I'd already been in radio about 2 million years and been fired a lot up to that point. And one of the, they would give you whole pieces, part of it would be introducing records. You have to pretend you're a disc jockey. Well, here we go with this, well, Lester Lennon and his orchestra playing, you know, that kind of ad lib. But then they would give you a script to read of classical music.
Hmm.
And now the intermezzo from Act 3 of Lohengrin by Richard Wagner. And also the Cavalleria Rusticana by Pietro Mascagni. And this was a station like HDH that never had a classical music program on it. So you wonder, why are you forcing me to read this business?
Well,
I'll never have to use it.
Well, they were anticipating the rapid format changes of the 90s.
That's right. Highbrow, it's Highbrow 85. You know, we're going to have new names for these things. We didn't change format quite so often. Well, at that time, television had come in, and there was FM. Some FM, it wasn't a big thing. FM at the beginning was mostly classical music anyway. Maybe they figured that might be it.
That might be the way to go, sure. That's your supercilious radio station.
That's right, and now here's the news. The news, Franklin Roosevelt has just taken office for the first time. And it was, I don't know. Some of those auditions were kind of funny. We'd line up. There'd be about the we auditioned. Actually, it was for a summer replacement job. It was a 4-month job, so that you could replace people who were going on vacation, who were members of the regular staff. But it was the only way you could get into the staff. Eventually, if you did well, maybe one day when they had an opening, they might call you back. So you'd leave all your full time jobs at little cockamamie stations to stand in line with 25 other trembling people, you know, and let in like you're going into the dentist and he's going to pull out every one of your teeth. You get so nervous you wanted to throw up all over the lobby and you'd go on. And those were terrible, terrible days. I don't understand why I'm still in this business.
Yeah, nowadays the audition process is, will you take 8 cents a day?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
that's right. If you're cheap enough, we'll use you. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I heard you on your current radio station, WFAD, in Middlebury, Vermont, and you sounded pretty decent. I think we can use you on the weekend.
Are you
because,
cheap?
Yeah, we've been watching this Nathan we have on the weekend, and he's kind of old. He looks like he may die at any moment now. So could you just stand by and then work cheap? And it's a whole different ballgame. Oh, God, we're having fun, aren't we, huh?
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Yeah, let's break it up now by introducing real people. Yeah. For example, Jody, who's in Hyde Park. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Norm. How are you, dear?
I'm okay, Jody.
That's good.
How are you?
I'll tell you, Jack Hatt was right.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to miss you.
Oh, really? Thank you very much.
No.
Am I dead already? What do you mean by that?
No. 1 week is not enough. We need you.
You need me more often. You need
right.
me
Months
every single
night.
Yes,
that's
seven,
right.
7 nights a week for decades.
That's right.
24 hours a day, all Norm radio.
All Norm.
Wouldn't that be something?
All Norm, all the time.
That's right.
That would be enough to make me sick to my stomach, not to mention the listers.
Well, you see, then we can get you not only just doing your talk show stuff, you can be playing the violin, and you can do a little tap dance and
that's
do
right.
your magic act.
That's yeah. right. It was suggested that I bring my violin. I forgot to do that. Maybe I'll think of it this coming night, Saturday night.
I won't be here.
Oh, that's right. I'll hold it then till next week.
Okay.
On this very day when you're here.
Okay.
You'd like to hear me play?
I would like to hear you play.
My violin.
Uh-huh.
When I play, when a gypsy makes his violin cry, there won't be a dry eye in the house. You will just absolutely break down and sob. That's right. He'll cry. It's building gas in my stomach what he's doing there with that violin. But I used to play songs like that.
two guitars, which was a lot of pizzicato. Do you know what pizzicato is?
Pizzicato, yeah.
Yeah, the string.
Long fingernails.
That's
stuff,
right. That's right. That's right. You pick away at the strings instead of bowing it. Oh, God, man. When I think of myself playing at Alvin Tulsa's recital at the Williams School in Chelsea and watching people out there leaping for the doors as I played. I played one year after I played a thing called Chopsticks. The theme of it, we're going back a few years, the theme of it was songs from different lands, and I picked China. I played Chopsticks, and I was dressed kind of like Chinese, so what we thought Chinese was at that time, which was really terribly racist as I think back on it now. And I played Chopsticks, which had a lot of pizzicato in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that kind of stuff. I recall that soon after that, China was lost to Chiang Kai-shek and the communists took over, and I've always attributed that to my violin solo of Chopsticks.
That was Chopsticks. We're talking about dun 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 dun. Is that like a Chinese song?
Yes, yes. I don't know whether it sounded too terribly Chinese. It was what appeared to us to be Chinese at the time. and everybody else had, you know, was playing songs from other different countries and stuff. Somebody, this is a few years back, somebody sent me a program from that recital. And there was my name in it. Norman Nathan, violin solo, Chopsticks. I still have that at home someplace. That's kind of funny.
Well, I'll bring in one of my instruments and accompany you.
What do you play?
A little bit of guitar, a little bit of piano, and a little bit of tin whistle.
Tin whistle.
Yeah, that would be kind of a one-man band, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you play anything, Tom?
Yes, actually. I play a little bit of keyboards.
Do you?
And I also play guitar, yes.
We could have a whole harmonica, actually. And a harmonica.
Oh, and spoons.
We could have a whole band here. The WBZ All-Stars.
Yes. Yeah. The oatmeal box.
Buckets, right? I can play buckets.
Buckets?
Yeah.
Oh,
with varied water amounts, so you have the different tonal qualities. And the different bucket.
Do you really do that?
Polyethylene buckets and then polystyrene buckets.
No, do you really do? Because we had there was an orchestra leader, a woman named Gloria. Gloria and her magic glasses. But she used to do that. She'd fill up the glasses different heights. And she'd get different tones out of them, hit them and whistle into them.
I thought she was tapping on her spectacles.
Yeah. You know, it's Gloria and her magic glasses. Imagine us saying that with all seriousness. And here she plays Norman Nathan's favorite, Chopsticks. Or whatever it was she played, I can't remember. Oh, there's no entertainment like that today. People don't understand what real music is like.
No, we could sing in harmony. We could do some Mills Brothers tunes.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful stuff, yeah.
Options are limitless.
And I remember our trio, dressed as the Andrews Sisters, just sweeping right through the auditorium at the Williams School in Chelsea.
Singing Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with anyone else but me.
Maybe because I just had my dress cleaned. I had it dry cleaned. Okay, let's see we have Bridget up in Ontario, Canada. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
You're still there, aren't you, huh?
Yes, I am very interested in your conversation also.
Do you play any musical instrument?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I play the ukulele and the recorder.
Oh, the recorder. You don't need
to. Well, that's not so hard to play. You just press play.
This is the one with the recorder. This is kind of like a tin whistle.
Yeah.
Do you have a recorder handy with you right now?
No, I had to give it away.
Oh, you don't have one.
Neighbors complained?
No, my parents did.
Oh, I see. Okay. Do you have the ukulele?
Do you want me to bring it out?
Yeah, can you get it? Is it handy?
No, well, it's not really handy. It's like in a box.
No, but I'm... No, I'm
up on a shelf.
But how long will it take you to get the ukulele?
I don't know, about 3 hours.
Never mind then. If it's going to be that
up in Fibber McGee's closet.
Because I was going to be able to do my Arthur Godfrey while you played the ukulele.
Well, you can do it anyway. I'll just pretend.
Okay, you want to pretend you're playing the ukulele?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, pretend. Let's figure a song first. I think that would be better.
Which song would Arthur Godfrey play?
Arthur Godfrey sang...
How about the Little Grass Shack and Wakala Hula Mata Hala?
Yeah, that's Hawaii. Right. That's a... I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakeahook, Hawaii.
Hey, that's good.
He also did one about the Too Fat Polka, which... one of my favorites.
What's that?
The Too Fat Polka. Oh, she's too fat.
I don't want her.
Fat.
Never. She's too fat for me.
That's the one.
She's too fat.
Yeah, now
isn't
I guess.
Isn't that a mean song, though?
It is kind of a mean song.
But it's not really a ukulele song, though, is it?
No, it's not. It's not really, though.
It's more of an accordion song.
Yeah, actually, I suppose that's true, yeah. How about In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia? On the trail of the lone, some pine. Oh, he's a heavy
soldier.
I think I'm choking. Why don't we forget the whole thing? You want to?
Okay.
Okay, that seems like a good idea. Let's go to Grace, who is in Rhode Island. And what are your particular talents, Grace?
I sing.
What? Oh, that's right. You sing.
Short-term memory?
You sing in the church choir.
And other places. Meal sites and senior centers and the like.
That's right, too. See, but you sound legitimate now, and the rest of us
are
just...
I am, dear. I went to Barrington College, and I graduated with a degree in voice.
In Bennington, is that what you said?
Barrington.
Is that Rhode Island?
That's Rhode Island.
You. Okay, Barrington, Rhode Island. And you've got degrees, so you're really a musician.
Yes, I'm really a musician.
The rest of us just
a
fool.
I'm getting paid for it at the moment, but I'm getting a musician.
You're a wonderful person, Grace, and a credit to the music business.
May I say something?
Yes.
I'm sorry,
could you get a little closer to the phone, talk up a little bit?
I'm close as I can get. I'm eating it.
That's right. Oh, you got the phone halfway down your throat?
Yeah. That's why I'm having trouble talking.
You must be perforating your gums to a great extent.
Something like that, yeah.
Yes, okay.
That's all right. I got a dentist appointment anyway. I'm just so gosh darn glad to be on this presentation because I'm celebrating an anniversary of sorts. It's been 3 months since I broke my arm. And
there's
an anniversary.
Yeah. To tell about it.
Yeah. Happy Broken Arm Day. Wow.
Was it a traumatic experience?
Yes, extremely.
Yeah. Is it now? Is it pretty well healed?
Pretty much. I've got 2 6-inch scars that are fairly visible, but no pain. You know, the pain is gone.
Oh, that's good. Will the scars diminish as the years go by?
Yes.
I'm just a guy.
Screws and a plate in myself there.
Oh, so. If you could wear a long sleeve gown when I take you to the prom, I'd appreciate that. Otherwise, I'll be embarrassed.
Now, what did you do to create such a traumatic experience?
I fell down a flight of stairs.
Ooh. Drinking again, huh?
Yeah. Don't tell anybody though.
Okay.
I mean, I'm from Barrington and all that. We're supposedly a dry town, but. Kids sneak out other places.
No. We have dry towns near where I live. My town is not dry. And so they sneak out from these dry towns pretending they're very moral, and they buy the booze in where I live. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah,
so I stand outside there and I make faces at them. So you're from Boxford, huh? You're coming to Middleton to buy your booze, you drunk. We do a lot of that kind of stuff. The guys who own the package stores are not too thrilled with that kind of approach. But anyway, we'll play the dumb birthday game. Today is the birthday of Andre Previn, among others. Pianist, composer, conductor. His biggest hit, Like Young. Do you remember that? That really goes back to 1958. That was kind of a fun thing. Like Young, he played piano with a symphonic kind of orchestra in the background. He was married to Mia Farrow from 1970 to 1979. He's also conducted symphony orchestras. He's out of Tanglewood, or used to be anyway. I think he still is from time to time. And has done some great jazz things. He did a number of albums, jazz versions of songs from My Fair Lady. So he's very much bridged the gap between classical music and jazz. And a fine musician.
And I remember meeting him at Tanglewood one year and saying, I had a jazz show on. I used to play a lot of your stuff, Mr. Previn, especially My Fair Lady and some of the musical comedy stuff. And I remember him just looking at me with, well, I think you'd have to describe it as a cold stare as he wandered away. I wasn't going to impress him at all with that, and which was kind of sad because I really have been a fan of his. Anyway, Jody, what do you think? How old do you think Andre Previn is today?
Well, I think he's 67.
67. Okay, and what do you think, Bridget?
I'll have to also go with 67.
Also with 67. And Grace?
68.
Okay, Jack, what do you think?
Andre Previn, the adoptive father, by the way, of Woody Allen's little honey, Soon Yi.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And let's see. Mia Farrow was married to Frank Sinatra, too, so yeah. I'm thinking she likes him old.
How old do you think? My God, I'm starting to get interested in this.
He's so old. Oh, no, I can't do that one.
Actually, her age is not all that... Oh, no, his age. I forgot. We're not guessing her age. No, guessing his age. His age is not that far from my age.
Oh.
My age is your age.
Yeah, your age is my age. So let's all age together and have a glass of wine. I remember that. That was a very big thing. Myron Boskowitz and his Connecticut Yankees used to do that.
Let's see. Andre Previn, I'll say he is 69.
69, and what will you say, Tom?
I'll say 67.
67 is absolutely correct.
Mm.
It is, so we had three winners, Jody, Bridget, and Tom. And Grace and Jack were not that far off either, so this is going to be a tight game.
I'm never far off.
Oh, this is the You're Never Far Off.
Never.
That was a song, wasn't it, that Andre Previn wrote?
Never far off?
You're never far off, nor away from my thoughts. I love you so much.
Aww.
What are those things that you bought?
Yeah.
Somebody said you better smooth that thing out just a little bit, and he never got around to it. Anyway, Merle Haggard, the country and western performer, his biggest hit, If We Can Make It Through December. That's a great title for a song, too.
It will be freezing in January.
Yeah. Right.
I almost didn't make it through December.
That's right. We'll die of frostbite about St. Swithin's Day. Anyway, that was done in 1974. Oh, here's an interesting sentence. At age 21, Merle Haggard was paroled from California's San Quentin prison, where he did a lot of rethinking in solitary, is the way they phrased this. I don't know what he was in there for. It doesn't explain that. Do any of you know?
Merle Haggard?
Why was he in...
He's had a lot of problems throughout his life with... it was traffic tickets. We had him arrested. He had a lot of drug and alcohol problems throughout his life.
Oh, yeah?
And I think still runs into a few troubles therein. But beyond that, I don't know.
Well, I see. Merle Haggard, son of a gun. The first song he wrote became a phenomenon. It was called... You remember? It was called Okie from Muskogee. Okie from Muskogee. It's kind of nice ring to it, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Nice ring.
Yeah, Okie. What do you think, Tom? How old is Merle Haggard on this very day?
Merle Haggard,
yes.
I'm going to say he's 53.
53. Okay, and Jack, what do you think?
Do you know that Merle Haggard isn't his real name? It's Merle Disheveled?
Oh. Well, in that case, actually, that changes everything.
That is just as smart.
I will say that he's 56.
56. Okay. Grace, what do you think?
Let me see. 53.
53. Bridget?
Well, I met Merle Haggard, you know.
No, I didn't.
Say he's 59.
Now, where did you meet him?
I met him at a bar I used to work at.
Hmm. At a bar?
Edmonton, Alberta.
Alberta, Canada?
Right on.
He used to work at a bar up there? Or you used to work at a bar up there?
Oh, I did, and he played there.
Oh, really? What was the name of the bar?
Cook County Saloon.
Hmm. How was he? Was he a decent guy?
He was fine.
That doesn't sound too reassuring, does it, the way you said that?
Wow.
He was, he was nice.
It was okay if you didn't mind somebody like that.
Yeah.
You like that kind of person. I suppose he was okay. Jody, what do you think?
I think he's 58.
58. Well, Bridget obviously knows him because he is 59. Today, yeah. Mm. Bridget's got 2 out of 2.
Mm.
Right, both right on the button.
Mm.
And one apiece from Jody and Tom. As we go to Billy D. Williams, who played Diana Ross's lover in The Lady Sings the Blues. He was also in Mahogany with Diana Ross. His biggest break came in 1980 in The Empire Strikes Back. And in 1983, The Return of the Jedi. He also played Gail Sayers in the TV movie Brian's Song.
Excellent movie.
Yes, he was in the TV film The Jacksons, An American Dream. That must be, that's the Jacksons that we know.
Mm. Michael Jackson 5 yeah. or 7.
Yeah, there were 5 of them, as I recall, but they used to run around a lot. They looked like there were 7 of them. Yeah, some of them would leave and they'd come back again, and you didn't remember them leaving, so you thought, well, never mind. But that's Billy D. Williams.
Billy D. Williams, star of the Psychic Friends Network.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He is on that, isn't he? Yeah.
On what?
No kidding.
He's on with the Psychic Friends Network, yeah.
It's an infomercial for those $1 million a minute phone lines. You call up and you get a real live psychic.
That's right.
Better than a dead one.
You know that guy with the funny white wig on that looks, you know, looks like tablecloth he's put on his head?
Rip Taylor?
No, not Rip Taylor. No, he wears a hairpiece, but his looks kind of genuine until he pulls it off and does jokes with it. No, this guy looks like something out of the British court. You remember those kind of wigs that they wear in the...
Oh, yeah, the curlies court? On the back?
Well, not so much curly. It just looks like he cut out a bunch of cotton batten and stuck it on his head. And he sits there, and this is part of one of the psychic things.
Hair, you know, because you need it in just the right position so you can attune to the celestial stuff.
But it's funny, people sit there and they talk about, you know, the psychic stuff, and they don't look at him and go,
hey, buddy, what's with the hair?
Yeah, but they really ask him serious questions. He answers seriously. And then there's this other old guy. Well,
and no one thinks those people are nuts.
I mean, they got it. There's something weird about that whole world of psychic people.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, there are people who are psychic, you know, who genuinely can, you know, it would seem, who can genuinely attune into, into like the cosmic, you know, stuff. But... these people here, you know, it doesn't seem...
They've got just
banks and banks and banks of people on phones telling you true psychic information.
Hmm. I think you summed it up very beautifully, Jack. Just so lovely. Just for that, why don't you take the first shot, and I do mean that literally, at Billy D. Williams.
First shot at Billy D. Williams.
Yeah.
Wait a second, it's coming to me. I would say in his future he will be 53.
Okay, 53. But I thank goodness for the psychic that I've been going to for many years. Apply for a job at WBZ, they once said. And I didn't make it. I don't know what I'm saying. Forget what I said. I said that. Bridget, how old do you think Billy D. Williams is?
I think Billy D. Williams, my psychic tells me he's 60.
Okay. You've got 2 out of 2 so far, so your psychic may not know what he or she's talking about. Jody, what do you think?
I'm thinking. 54.
44?
54.
Okay. And Tom?
Let me think. 51.
51.
51.
Okay. Grace, what do you say?
56.
56. Okay, Billy D. Williams is actually 59.
Ooh, really?
So Bridget has got a third win in a row. She said 60, and so she was the closest. She was just a year off, and nobody said 58. So, Bridget, you got 3 out of 3.
Not bad for an old-time gal, right?
Mm-hmm. You're okay. How about Michelle Phillips? She appeared in the soap opera Search for Tomorrow.
And Knott's Landing.
Pardon me?
Knott's Landing.
Knott's Landing, that's right. And also Hotel.
She was a mama.
She was with the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, yes, Mamas and Papas, yes, of course.
Yeah, when they released Monday. They released Monday on her birthday in 1966. So 30 years ago, on this very date, April 6th, Monday was released. Michelle Phillips. Okay. What do you think, Grace? How old do you think she is?
49.
49, okay. And Tom?
48.
Tom says 48. And what do you say, Jody?
Okay, 53.
5-3. 5-3. Okay, Bridget, what do you say?
52.
52. And Grace, Jack?
She was just a youngster when... She was with them.
So that would have been 30 years ago.
That would have been 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
30 years ago.
30 years ago.
30 years ago. Plus...
Long, long ago.
Plus having been a youngster equals... 49.
Okay, you know something?
Mm-hmm.
I think this thing is rigged by Bridget. Bridget said 52, which is how old she is. You've known all these things all along, haven't you?
I have not.
Bridget, fess up, man.
Yeah.
Fess up. We're not shining this spotlight in your face and rapping knuckles on the table for nothing. We want the truth.
Did you bring me in as a ringer or what?
No, I was not in on this, but I have a feeling that maybe you did. You do your homework and check all these things before?
Never.
Okay. Okay.
That's a good guesser.
Okay. If Bridget says that, then I believe it, my child. And that's why the kids here at the school where I'm principal love me.
Naturally.
Because they can pull anything they want, and I'm
okay,
too
Mr.
stupid
Thackeray,
to start.
Okay, Mr. Thackeray, I'm sure.
Okay, here's one. How about John Ratzenberger, you know, from Cheers?
Mm-hmm.
Cliff, he's the mailman on Cheers. He played it until the last show, May 20th, 1993. He's the one who does... He's probably got the best Boston accent of anybody on the show.
Right.
It sounds a little strained. It's not. It doesn't seem to come too easily. But he does a fairly decent job at that. John Ratzenberger. Okay, that's a great name, isn't it, huh?
Ratzenberger.
Ratzenberger, yeah.
Is that medium rare or...
That's right. We'll have I'd like a Ratzenberger with lots of French fries. Thank you. And maybe throw some cheese on it.
Hold the mustard.
Ratzenberger.
Extra rat tails.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too terribly appealing.
It's funny to watch movies before Cheers came on, like some B movies and stuff, and you see him floating around in them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Does he have the action in those movies, too, or did he develop that later on?
I think that, you know, that's just a character thing that he puts on. And, of course, one of them was an Arabian Nights type of movie, and he played, like, an Arabian kind of guy. And without quite the thing. Hey, Ali Baba, rub the lamp. You know.
He's from Bridgeport. Is CN Connecticut?
Yeah.
I would have thought, what is CT?
Wait a minute. No, CT is...
Yeah, CT is Connecticut,
CT is
North, isn't it?
This is Bridgeport CN. That sounds like Canada.
Well, I think maybe whoever had their abbreviations wrong.
Typo.
typo. Has to be.
Mm. Must be a typo. Yeah, probably a typo. That's what it is.
Unless it's Kansas with a C.
That could be, and that would be a typo too. Typo, smart typo there.
Yes.
Wherever it is, anyway. That's John Ratzenberger, and we'll start with you, Tom. How old do you think John Ratzenberger is?
I think John Ratzenberger is 46. 47.
47.
47.
John Ratzenberger. That's such an ugly name.
Yes.
But he's kind of a funny-looking guy anyway. I suppose that it makes sense then. John Ratzenberger, how come you have such a funny name and you're such an ugly man?
Well, funny thing happened. On my way to Bridgeport, to Connecticut, with a CN.
Yeah. Anyway, Jack, how old do you think John Ratzenberger is?
John Ratzenberger?
John Ratzenberger, that's the guy.
Let's see.
Postman, you know.
He delivers the mail.
Delivers the mail, sure.
Brings you letters, stamps?
Letters, stamps, first class mail.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, does all that kind of stuff.
Delivered records and stuff to you?
Delivers records and all kinds of packages.
And all the junk mail.
Spent all years the junk sitting mail. Around in the bar.
Sits in the bar and drinks bar. Beer.
It'd certainly be delivering the useless and tacky prizes that you give away.
It could do that, too, because we mail them out, and there has to be some mailman somewhere.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Delivers them, you know.
Yeah, right now.
Like the Pepperidge Farm man now.
Oh, that's
I remember.
That's right. I suppose that's a little more extreme when Pepperidge Farm man talks like this. You remember Ma and Pa Kettle? It was Marjorie Main and it was Percy Kilbride. Percy, he had a kind of a Maine, Old Orchard Beach, Maine kind of accent. People up there sort of sing the accent out. He'd say, so when we going to get together again? Pop will meet soon. That was Percy Kilbride with Marjorie Main. Oh, sure.
Sounds like I could use a little antacid.
Yeah, sounds like some kind of a stomach problem I have. Oh. Yeah, sure. Jack,
yeah.
How old do you think, John?
I'm sorry, I've lost my place. Oh, John Ratzenberger. How old would you say he is? John Ratzenberger. He has got to be 49.
49. Okay. What do you think, Grace?
47.
Okay. And Bridget?
I'm going with Jack, and I'm saying 49.
49. Okay. And Jody?
I'm here. 51. 51.
51. I'm glad you're here.
Your voice just drives me crazy.
Yeah. Whose voice?
Yours.
Mine. Okay, I was going to say the same thing about you.
I could listen to you all night.
All night, as long as that, as much as that. Because I was thinking, I'm so glad you're here, because I can't stand the rest of the people.
Uh-oh.
So let me just sit in your lap, okay?
I'm insulted.
Who's insulted?
I am. Grace.
Oh, Grace. Okay. No, I like your voice, too.
Got me off the air or something.
No, listen, let me try both of you. I'm not sure I can handle one of you, but let me try. Anyway, John Ratzenberger actually is 49. I think Bridget is cheating. She hit that right on the button, and she's got 5 out of 5. You're not going to tell me these are just wild guesses.
Should I hang up now?
Yeah.
No, don't hang up now. No.
I think it's
there's
really
nothing in the rules.
Say that I'm cheating when your boyfriend Jack got the same
Bridget
answer.
Knows who men.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, Jack got 49, too, but that's the only one he's got out of 5. I mean, you've got 5 out of 5. How are you comparing yourself to him? Well, that's okay. I never said you couldn't look him up in advance. I never said that.
How would I know who you're going to be picking?
Well, people who have birthdays today. April 6th, you just look in your little book and see April 6th.
And what book do I look in?
You look in the Dumb Birthday Game book of
birthdays. Oh, you have one, birthdays. Do you? Well, send it over.
Yeah, because...
Who's that written by?
That's written by...
So if I get one wrong, does that put me in the good books?
No, no, no. You've already won because we only have a couple more names to go. Three more, actually. So even if there's nobody... Let me see. If somebody won three more, they'd do... No, nobody can catch up with you.
And what happens if I get a perfect game? You get all the tacky prizes.
Yeah, you still get a tacky nothing prize. Yeah, no matter how good you are, you still get the same kind of cockamamie prize. Today is also the birthday of, let me see. It's Mary Lou Henner. I was trying to look to see if I have any information about her. I know she was on Taxi. We all know that.
She had an ill-fated talk show.
That's right, she did. I thought she was pretty good on that, too.
Hmm.
But that didn't last too long. Most of the talk shows, as a matter of fact, have been ill-fated.
Mm-hmm.
And rightly so, I think, in most cases. I was just looking. I had some other information. There was another show she was on, regular show besides...
Evening Shade. Evening Shade.
Oh. That's right. That's right. Anyway, I thought she did well on the talk show. Taxi is one of my favorite shows. Okay. I think that's a good show.
Mine, too.
You like that too?
I love it.
It might be on Nick at Night right now. I don't know. But then again,
good night, Mr. Walters.
What's that?
Good night, Mr. Walters.
Okay, let's start with let's see. Let's start with you, Bridget. What do you think, Mary Lou Henner?
I'd say 44.
44 says Bridget, and what would you say, Jody?
I'd say 45.
45, okay. And Grace?
47.
And Tom?
I'll say 47 also.
Okay, and Jack?
Wait a second, I just got to do a little bit of math here. So that would be 27 years ago. Let's say she was 16. So that would be 47 minus 43. 43.
43, okay. I thought most of you, since Bridget started it out, since she's got 5 out of 5, that you would just say whatever she said. And if you had, you would have all been right, because she hit that one too right on the button. I know, it's just a coincidence. You just happen to be taking wild guesses. We understand, Bridget. She's 44, exactly what you said.
Oh.
Other people came very close. I mean, Jack was just 1 year off, and so was Jody. And even Grace and Tom were only a couple of years, three years off. You all did very well on that.
Did you know that Mary Lou Henner, if you give her tell her a date, and she can automatically recall what she was doing on that day?
Really?
No, I didn't know that.
She can also tell you the day that it happened.
Really? Which was the day that
September 16th, 1965. She will tell you if it was a Sunday, a Monday, or a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And apparently she became a woman on the day that the first space flight to the moon.
Apparently. Wow.
She became a woman? Is that code for having sex?
Yes.
For the very first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for the very first time.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Such a beautiful thought. That is really so very, very nice. And she can tell you what day that was and what time and everything.
Yep.
But she can't remember whether it was pleasurable or not. That's the only thing that slips her mind.
But she can't remember the guy's name.
That's right.
Takes me too.
I think it was a guy named Andrew, but it might have been Meyer. I'm not really sure. That's interesting. What do you do with a talent like that?
I guess you tell people your life story over and over and over again.
And that brings us up to 1958.
But it'd be to remember, you know, say what day a certain date came on. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful talent, but I wonder what you could do with that.
You know what it's good
for? People are really interested in that, though.
Like, let's say you worked at a carnival and people want to know what day they were born on, so they could say, you know, like Monday's child is full of grace. They want to know what they're full of.
I suppose
they
that
really
would.
Really want to know what they're full of.
Yeah, yeah, that seems to make sense to me.
Yeah, you see, so that would be a big help that way.
Okay, let's go. And I know that Bridget has walked away with everything, so nobody's got a chance anyway. But let's do Brett Blyleven, anyhow, the baseball pitcher.
Who?
I don't have any.
of Britt Blylevin. He pitched for Cleveland and Minnesota.
How long ago?
Well, I'll tell you, he was released by the Twins in 1993. Just 13 wins short of 300. He wanted to have 300 wins, and he never quite made it to that. But he was released by the Twins in 93, and he did most of his great pitching with Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians, as I recall. I know that, too. See, you name a major league town, and I'll tell you the baseball team name. That's a great talent I have.
Excellent.
San Diego Padres. Anyway, let's see. Let's start with you, Jack. How old do you think Britt Blylevin would be?
Britt Blylevin. You always give me, anytime you start out with a sports person, you always give it to me first.
I never noticed that. Do I? Has that been that consistent, huh?
Well, not always.
Must be a subconscious kind of thing, because I was not aware of that.
And I'm just so sports-minded.
St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals.
Let's see.
Toronto. Maple Leafs. Oh, it's not the Maple Leafs. Toronto. What's that?
Are those hot dogs?
Those hot dogs?
Maple Leaf.
Maple Leafs.
Maple Leaf hot dogs.
No. Do you have Maple Leaf hot dogs up in Canada?
Maple Leaf.
Oh, I see. That's very good. Only Maple Leaf, I love you.
I'm not paying for the call.
Oh, golly jeekers.
Oh,
what,
golly jeekers.
How we managed to cram all this much entertainment in such a short space of time.
It's really fun.
I'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was you, Jack. Britt Blylevin.
Oh, Britt Blylevin.
Yeah, that's a mom and pop kind of chain. Chain stores, the Blylevins.
The Blylevins.
Yeah. Let's go to the Blylevins for some milk. They're open 24 hours a day, you know.
For service, quality, and value, Blylevins.
Blylevins, that's right.
Let's see, Blylevin.
I like to get maybe a little, kind of like, I think they have egg salad sandwiches that are all sealed in their own natural juice, and they're available around the clock, you know? That little one of those little packages of crackers and cheese you put together.
In their own natural juice?
At Blylevin's. Blylevin's.
Come in now and get a free pickle with every sandwich added.
That's right. It's right in the back of the store, right near the, where they have a whole bunch of green apples.
We slice our meat by hand every day.
That's right. Whether they need to or not.
From the Florida sunshine tree.
Okay, Britt Blylevin. What do you think, Jack?
Britt Blylevin.
Britt Blylevin.
Britt Blylevin. That was 3 years ago that he was released. Let's see. And he could have been any age then. Let's say that he was at the peak of it, or he was at the end of his career. That would put him somewhere in baseball around, 311.
That wasn't the end of his career. It sure made it the end of his career when he was released.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, see, when he's released, that means it's the end of the career.
Oh.
In fact, I recall the manager, who sounded a lot like Arthur Godfrey, said, well, Bert, you're at the end of your career. We're releasing you, and you're out of baseball forever. Thank you. If you want any further information, I'm in the Blue Hill Mountains of Virginia. We better hurry because we're running very late now.
I've heard everything about his career and singing Seems Like Old Times.
Oh, yes, Seems Like Old Times. Having you to talk with Seems Like Old Times. Having you to... When I do that, saliva seems to build up in my nose.
Ooh,
oh, that's so ugly, isn't it? Anyway, we better get on with this.
Blylevin, 41.
How much?
41.
41. Okay, 41 years of age. Oh, yeah. Oh, he was so fat when we released him.
Yes, the quadril.
Jody, what do you say?
I'll say 39 now.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I can switch from one voice to another that quickly. I'll tell you what I'll do. Did you say
39.
Right?
Well, it's a 39. Oh, I see.
No. Anyway. It's my night.
Okay. Grace, what do you think?
46.
46. And Tom?
38.
38, says Tom.
Yeah, 38.
And now the very lovely and the winning person, the very beautiful Bridget. What do you think? How old is Bert Blyleth, Bridget?
I'll go with 42.
42. Would you believe that Bridget lost that one?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Okay, sure. If he played for the Toronto team, you'd know. Sure. I know you. Oh, sure. No, actually, Bert Blyleth is 45.
45.
So Grace moves into the scoring column. She said 46.
What position did he play, by the way?
He was a pitcher.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he was a pitcher. Used to throw that ball real hard down the diamond there. To the catcher, I think you call the guy at the other end. The catcher? Oh, yes, yes.
He's the guy that would catch the thing.
He would catch it, so we called him the catcher. And he would slouch kind of... down there in front of the umpire. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know all the strategy. Oh, God, look at the time. We got to go. Hey, hang on there, Jody. No, not Jody, Bridget.
Jody lost, so I'll...
Do we have her name and address and stuff?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So I want to thank you all. I got to go quick because we're going to have news and stuff. That's exciting. Jody, Bridget, Grace, thank you. And thank you very much, Tom, and thank you, Jack, and thank you, everybody. WBZ Boston.
Told you that was a good one. Don't forget to always click the like button. Sharing is caring. And subscribing is caring, too. Supporting the show through your choice of link below is super caring. Thank you just so darn much. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For snappy comebacks and ad-libs. Spontaneity. Broadcasting tests and auditions. Classical music intros. Highbrow 85. Superciliousness. All norm, all the time. Crying gypsy violins. Alvin Tulsi's recital at the Williams School in Chelsea. Chopsticks. The WBZ All-Stars and their orchestra. Gloria and her magic glasses. Arthur Godfrey doing his too fat polka in his little grass shack. Perforated gums. Happy Broken Arm Day. Dry Towns. Myron Boskowitz and his Connecticut Yankees. Solitary Rethinking. Merle Disheveled. The Psychic Hotline. Enjoying a delicious cheese Ratzenberger and fries. Ma and Pa Kettle. Cheating. Birthday Math. Wanting to know what you're full of. Blylevin's 24-hour convenience stores. Tom Howie. Jack Hart. And the man who, at the time, had spent 2,000 years in broadcasting. Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.
So when are we going to get together again? Pop will meet soon.